Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Gimel. We were still holding on the Mishnah on daf Yud Beis on the base so that we could start with a proper introduction, namely
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
There you go. Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. This is some Mishnah that probably we don't even have to learn in the Gemara because everybody knows it by heart, because it's part of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. To Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei ani kiven 70 shana v'lo zachiti shetamer yetziat Mitzrayim balaylot, ad shedarsha ben zoma. By the way, there's this little bit of a question: what the heck is this doing in Haggadah Shel Pesach? Since it doesn't have anything to do with the chiyuv of yetziat Mitzrayim, on these two completely separate psukim, zokartem zchoras hayom azer asher yatzata mitzrayim. That's a specific tzivui lagabi the particular night of the Seder. And the truth is, in the Yerushalmi, it's clear that the Mishnah here is a hemshech of the story of the yeshiva b'Vnei Brak. Because it says in the Mishnah, Amar Lahem. We don't have that here, but that seems to be the marker, the original marker. So Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei ani kiven 70 shana. We're going to see later on in the Gemara, although it's going to take a little while, but we're going to see later on why it is that he called himself kiven 70 shana. Everybody knows the story, but the details, the politics, the machinations, all of that we'll find out later on. I never was zocher to be koveya from a posik to chiyav of Amiras Yitzias Mitzrayim at night, ache dorsha ben zuma, shenemar lama'an tizkor at yom tzeitcha miretz Mitzrayim ko yimecha yecha, yimecha yecha, yamim ko yimecha yecha halelot. So this is the reason that we would say Parashat Vayomer at night, because it has in it Yitziat Mitzrayim. So the three Parashot of Kriyat Shema are actually two Parashot of Kriyat Shema, but as we saw yesterday, and it's always the derech of the Gemara to introduce the coming Mishnah. We introduced the coming Mishnah by discussing why it is that we spoke about the Parashat Vayomer. We talked about the various things it has in it. And here, the Mishnah goes on to talk about one of the five elements of Vayomer, namely the Chiyuv of Mzecher Yetziat Mitzrayim. Chachamim omrim yamecha yecha olam hazeh kol lahavi l'yemot ha-mashiach. And therefore, we can't learn from here that there's a Chiyuv of Haskor ha-balelot. Tanya amar lem ben zomah l'chachamim. How can you learn that the Chiyuv of Zecher Yetziat Mitzrayim of kol yamecha yecha is to be marba yamot ha-mashiach when the pasuk says beferush that there is not supposed to be zechirat yetziat Mitzrayim yamot ha-mashiach v'halo kvar ne'emar hine yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem v'lo yamru ot chai Hashem asher alad b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. The days are coming in which it will no longer be said by Klal Yisrael chai Hashem. If they want to make a shvur, they'll say asher halos b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Rather, kim chay Hashem asher alav asher hevi et zera beit Yisrael meretz tzafona mikol haaretzot asher hidachtim sham v'yashvu al admatam. So clearly, the focus is not going to be on Yitziat Mitzrayim, but rather on the new geula to come. Amru lo, so they said to him, that doesn't imply that there's no chiyuv of Yitziat Mitzrayim, of zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim. It simply is saying, lo shetayaker Yitziat Mitzrayim im koma. It doesn't mean that we forget about the past. Elo shetaheshe ibud malchiot ikar v'yitziat Mitzrayim tafelo. All it means is that the greater sensitivity to the nisim of the end of the whole process of galut will be more impactful. But it doesn't mean that we forget Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim still remains the model, the paradigm, and the foundation of our sense of geula, and therefore there will always be a chiyuv of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Kayotzei bo, Atomer, you have very much a similar situation in understanding the nature of the pasuk. It says, lo yikareh shimcha od Yaakov, ki Yisrael yeshemecha. You could make the same mistake there. You could say that God is telling Yaakov that your name is no longer to be Yaakov. Just as over here, that's the way you understood it. Lo yamero, they're not going to say, chay Hashem asher alad b'nei Yisrael. Okay? But we know that that's not true, because we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to speak to Yaakov right there on the spot. He calls him Yisrael and then addresses him by name, Yaakov. So there too it means, lo sheyaker Yaakov mikomo, elo Yisrael ikar v'Yaakov tafelo. All it means is that we have the foundation of his name, and then we have the main name. So, okay, Yaakov becomes Tafel now to the main name. Lechein Omer. Alt is Karu Rishonot. We have exactly the same idea in the Pasuk of Yeshayo that speaks as if he's speaking from after the Geula, the Geula to come. Alt is Karu Rishonot v'kadmoniot al titbonanu in the Neosech Hadasha Tatitzmach. So how do we darshan this? Altis Kru Rishonot refers to the Shi'ibud Malchiot, because in context, Kadmoniot means the primal things. Rishonot are the first things. Primal comes down before first. In other words, the Shi'ibud Malchiot, even that isn't important any longer. As important. Kadmoniot Altit Bononu, no longer do you need to contemplate the primal events of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Something new is coming that will now break forth. Close the parak with the little theme that's been threading its way throughout the parak about Milchemet Gogu Magog in the context of Kriyat Shema Geula. You know what this is like? It's like a guy was walking along the road. He's attacked by wolves. He manages to escape, so everybody he meets tells them about the exciting episode of the wolves. Then he continues his journey. So when he's attacked by a lion, he manages to escape the lion. He forgets about the wolves. And then pagabo nachash. Then after that, all of a sudden he's wrapped up by this enormous snake that's about to swallow him whole, you see. And then he forgets about both of the first stories. This is much more exciting. And so Yisrael, Tzarot Achronot Meshakchot Et Harishonot. There's all kinds of exciting things, but there's always more exciting things to come. Avram Hu Avraham. So the first perek in Divrei HaYamim opens up with the list of the Asarat Dorot to Noach and the next Asarat to Avram, and it closes the introduction with a flourish. Avram Hu Avraham. Bang. Now what does that mean? Now what are the two names? How do we understand the relationship Avram Hu Avraham? That B'tchila Naaseh Av La Aram. B'sof Naaseh Av L'chol Olam Kulo. Tvidashna says a notrikun. Av Aram and Av Hamon. Sarai hi Sarah, not that that's what it says, but we understand that there's a relationship the Torah talks about. Sarai changes her name to Sarah, what does that mean? B'tchila na'aseit Sarai lashom yachid. So, my mistress, l'umata, so she's a national hero. L'abasov na'aseit Sarah. Sarah is not in relation to anyone in particular, it's just a model of Sarah, of nobility. And that's the chol ha'olam kulo. Tani Barka Para Kola Karela Avraham Avram Over Baase. Anyone who would actually say and address Avram as a question, there's some Achronim who learn this means literally to address Avram as Avram. But it's very difficult to accept that shot for the continuation of the sugya, as we'll see.
Avram Avinu.
Avram Avinu. So he'd be over on a chiyuv aseh, shenema v'haya shimcha Avraham, that's a statement of that's the way it's supposed to be, and if you ignore that, so you're being over on this mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, over belav, it's worse than that, it says, v'lo yikare od shimcha Avram, and therefore it's telling you specifically not to be kare. Elamiata, could you say if that's the case, by the way, there's just this very cute word on here by Rav Aaron Cutler. Most certainly it's not a machlokas. One is pointing out an asay, one is pointing out a lotas. He gives a lomdasha explanation. The shaila is like this. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, as long as your name is Avram, you're not going to have children. So we'll change your name to Avram. Is the din that the name Avram is ma'akiv children? If the name Avram is ma'akiv children, then you're not allowed to say the name Avram. Or is it that as Avram, it's not an authority, it will give you a new name, to give you a new identity. In which case, the Iker is, Yikarei Shimcha Avraham. We don't really care about the fact that you're Avram, so we can't say it's a lotas. Okay, nice. How about Sarah? Sarai ishtakha lo tikra shema, Sarai ki sarah shema, we could say exactly the same thing, right? We're saying that by Avram, it should be an is. Salamiyata karela sarah sarai hachinami. No. Hatam kuchabrichu amar la Avram, Sarai ishtakha lo tikra shema, Sarai ki sarah shema. It's a private tzivui. Not that that will be your name and no one should call it otherwise, but the way in which you relate to Sarah should be as Sarah, not Sarai. You could say the same thing about Yaakov, and the whole sugya started with saying it. Certainly it can't mean that with Yaakov. It says the same thing. Yata korela Yaakov, Yaakov. Hachinami? No. Because we see there beferush, it says, Hata mahadar, tahadar hadri kro, where the posik itself turns right around, Vayomer Elohim li Yisrael b'marot alayla. It's talking about Yisrael, and then what's the name he's called? Lashon Chiba, by repeating Yaakov, Yaakov. So clearly, it's telling you that the name remains Yaakov. Mati Reb Yossi Barov Invitem Reb Yossi Bar Zvida. Doesn't it say in the Pasuk Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bacharta Be Avram? And that is said generations later. We're still calling him Avram. Omar Lei, he answered him, that's a historical description. It's the Navi there that is being misader, the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying, you are he who found at the time. That's the historical presence. You call Avram Avraham. That's my Navi Meikor, but that's what was originally. The Pasuk is saying, calling at this point, out of the context of history, Avram Avram. Hadran Allah Ne'ematai. Haya korei b'Torah v'higiyaz man hamikra. We're finally going to start discussing Kriyat Shema itself. We're going to discuss this man Kriyat Shema, the Birchot Kriyat Shema. We're finally up to Kriyat Shema, and we suddenly find out, actually, you don't even have to say the Brachos of Kriyat Shema. That's what it appears from this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you're in the middle of reading in the Torah, and it's time for Kriyat Shema, Im kivein libo yatsa, from which the Yerushalmi brings a proof that clearly the brachot kriyat shema, not ma'akit, the mitzvah of kriyat shema, because otherwise you certainly didn't find a sefer Torah with Birchos kriyat shema written in them. So if you are mechavein lipcha to be yotze, the Gemara is going to ask what this means, is it imply mitzvot zuchot kavana? But whatever it means, if you had the correct kavana, you would be yotze the chiyav of kriyat shema. This is the ultimate limud ha-Torah kriyat shema relationship, clearly. You're actually reading the Torah, not for purposes of kriyat shema. Biprakim, Choyom Mipnei HaKavod Umeshiv. So if you're at the gaps in between the various parshiot, the Gemara will define it completely, but the Mishnah is going to explain also. In the gaps, you can, if you meet someone that you have a chiyuv of respect towards, you can be Shoel, meaning you can initiate a Shalom Aleichem. Umeshiv, and you can respond. Now, it doesn't say you can respond, meaning for whom. I mean, if it just means, Shoel b'pnei hakavod, umeshiv b'pnei hakavod, I don't need to say that. I mean, because if I can initiate, I can certainly respond. Someone else who initiates, this is the Gemara is going to talk about. Ubeemtsav, you're in the middle of the perek, and there you don't want to interrupt. Shoel mipnei hayirah, umeshiv, the Rebbe Meir. There you could be shoel mipnei hayirah. Now, what exactly hayirah means? Big machlokas among the rishonim. Some learn shoel mipnei hakavod, specifically those for whom you have a chiyuv of kavod for, whereas yirah is yirah like in yirat aviv v'imo. So, in other words, the kavod is an active kavod. Remember, the kibud avim is not mechayev you to say good morning every time you see a parent. Now, if you have a din of Shalom Alecha Rebbe, it's a different halacha, which is the Kabbalah Pnei Rabba. There's no din of Kabbalah Pnei Aviv. But when it comes to Yirah, there is an isser of ignoring the presence of a parent. So there would be Yirah. That's the most gentle approach. Not that there is an actual element of Yirah, meaning you fear for your life. However, Rashi learns, and many other Rishonim learn, that Yirah over here is a person that you are afraid of. Literally afraid of. By the way, in kavod, there's also a question whether it means a chiyuv of kavod in terms of a specific relationship or adam nechbad. I mean, how about there's a rich guy in town? Chiyuv to be mechabed him. Is this, that's the level of kavod that we're talking about over here? Many learn yes. We're not talking about a chiyuv of kavod specific. means an honorable gentleman in which Derech Eretz would be mechayev you to specifically say good morning. But not a mitzvah d'oraisav kovet. So there it's easy to see the difference between that and yirah, where there's an iser of yirah as well. However, Rashi and the Rambam as well learned that the yirah that we're talking about over here is literal fear, which is very strange, because, I mean, if we're talking about an actual fear that the person's going to hurt you, I mean, you can interrupt the middle of Shemoneh Esrei too. I mean, there's ein davar omed b'pnei pikuach nefesh. What do we need to tell me over here? You're allowed to interrupt Kriyat Shema. You can do whatever is necessary to save your life. So they're mefarish, obviously, yirah means a person who is in a position to hurt you. It doesn't mean that you believe that in your not initiating good morning, that necessarily, I mean, he's going to get angry and he's going to hurt you. But the very fact that he's a type of person that you have to be fearful of, even though it's not in the immediate b'pikuach nefesh, that you're allowed to be, according to Zman Yom, that you're allowed to now be shoyel on your own. So, we'll see. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, be'emtza shoel mipnei ha'ir, ha'o meshiv mipnei ha'kavod. Now, Rabbi Yehuda goes down one level. It's a little strange because we would have thought that the Tanakhama also went down one level in terms of answering. Apparently, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita, not the Tanakhama shita, which tomorrow will be medayek. So, yes, it's true. I agree with you that you can initiate a greeting only because of yirah, but you can answer even if it's only mipnei hakavod. Uba prakim, I agree with you that where you're between the various pieces, you can be initiating mipnei hakavod. But I disagree in that I say you can answer shalom to anybody, even someone that you don't have to be mechabed. And what do we mean by bein prakim? Bein bracha rishona lishnia. Bein shniyah lishma, bein shma levahaya im shamoa, bein vahaya im shamoa levayomer, and bein vayomer laemet v'yatsiv. Was Rebuta says, no. Bein vayomer laemet v'yatsiv lo yafsiv. We don't want to have a hefsek between Hashem Elokechem and the word emet. And therefore, we're not mafsik. It's a machlokas, by the way, in the Rishonim, whether it means lo yafsiv at all. It was giving us a din of Shemoneh Esrei, or does it mean lo yafsik ki'ilu that it's bein aprakim and as it did of be'emtza? In other words, we're being more machver even than be'emtza. Omer Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, lama kadma parshat Shema levahaya im Shamoa? Why is it that we read parshat Shema before we read vahaya im Shamoa? Now, clearly, there ought to be a very simple answer to this, because that's the first parsha, and Vayim Shema is the second parsha, and usually we read the first parsha before we read the second parsha. So what kind of question is this? Rashi later points out that, look, I mean, if we're talking about the order in which the parashot appear in the Torah, then certainly we would have started off with the parsha of Tzitzit. Because Vayomer is in Bamidbar, both of these, Shema, Vayim Shema, both are in Devarim. So clearly the order of appearance in the Torah is not the defining element which the Chazal used to define what Dvorim Ha'ela are. And so there's got to be something else. So what was that thing? Kedei sheyekabel alav ol malchut shamayim techila. So first you want to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, which the Inyan of Echad is pure malchut, as we see. We use that pasuk. Can we actually use that pasuk to be the height of our malchiot on Rosh Hashanah? It's the first thing that we want. And then, after that's achieved, then we talk, ve'achar kach b'kabel alav ol mitzvot. After that, we're going to talk about the chiyuv of the mitzvot in the Torah. So therefore, we read, v'hoyayim shamoa tishmu al mitzvotai. The mitzvot should come after the sense of no other power but God. And why is it that we say v'hayayim shamoa before v'yomer? Shevahayayim shamoa noeg bein b'yom uvein b'layla. The mitzvot in v'hayayim shamoa are things that are all the time. The main thing is v'dibarta bam, l'marita botam, v'nechem, v'dabir bam, is Talmud Torah, it says b'feirush is b'yom uvalayla. Whereas the main mitzvah that is Vayomer is the parsha of Tzitzit, where it says, Uri Temoto, Uri Temoto is Dafka Biyom. And therefore, those things which are noeg biyom odem balayla should come before those things which are in an oeg elo biyom bilvad. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah says you have to be mechavein. Doesn't that mean that shvamina mitzvot srichot kavana? That if you don't have kavana, you're not going to be yotze, even though you're reading from the Sefer Torah. Is this not a problem? Because I mean, it's a machokas amuroyim and elsewhere, and nobody thinks of bringing a raya from this Mishnah. And you're saying beferush im kiven libo, you're yotze, and if you're not kiven libo, you're not yotze. I don't get it. No, says the Gemara, it doesn't mean to have kavanah to be yotze the mitzvah of kriyat shema. It means to have kavanah to read. Kiven libo lekrot. What do you mean to have kavanah to read? He is reading. What do you mean kavanah to read? I mean, the action that you're doing is you're reading Kriyat Shema. Now the question is, kiven libo. So what's that supposed to mean? No. It's not true. Here it could be talking about, you may be enunciating what it says. It doesn't mean you're reading. Now what does that mean? Well, Tosafot says, look, I mean, I guess it means that the guy has been korei lahagia. Korei lahagia means that he's looking at the words and reading them in order to check from a Sefer Torah that he knows is correct to a Sefer that is being written. Okay, so he's got the Sofer now who's checking over the new Sefer. He's reading from a previously checked Sefer, and he wants to make sure that he's pronouncing the words as they're written, so that the man can check it. So he doesn't say l'totafot, he says l'totefet, to make sure that there's no vav there, because it's not supposed to be a vav. In other words, any time where the person's checking to see if the chaserot, yiterot, are written correctly, he changes the haba'ah, and he's reading it at the way in which it's literally written, to make sure that the one who's checking sees where to put in a vav, where to take out a vav, where to have a yud, and so on. So he's not pronouncing it correctly. Now that certainly is not the mashma'ut of the sunya. And indeed Rashi doesn't say it that way. Rashi says, kivein likrot, is simply the idea, korei lahagia, is that he's not mitkavein likriya. Now there's two essential approaches to this. Not mitkavein likriya, one way of understanding it is that it's an act of pure mitasek. In other words, when we say you don't have to have kavana for the mitzvah, but that still means you need to do what you are doing. The concept of reading is not the same concept as checking. In vis-a-vis reading, checking the spelling of a word is a mitasek. You're involved in doing something else completely. The chiyav of kriyat shema is kriyah. There's no intent here for kriya, and therefore there's no act of kriya. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. It has to do with how we define an action. Now, even if you don't hold that there's a difference here, and that's among the Rishonim, if you don't hold that there's a difference here between mitasek and just simple lack of kavanah, there's no din of mitasek other than in places where the Torah specified that there needs to be elements of kavanah, like by kochim and so on, there's still a pu'ula called reading that is different than checking. Because reading means the interrelationship of words. And checking, it doesn't have any concern for the interrelationship of words. Indeed, someone who is checking may not even be aware of what he read. What did you just say? I have no idea. Right? As a matter of fact, they tell you when you're doing editing, you know, of a book, always read it backwards, right? Because that way you don't get involved in what it is that it's saying, and you can actually sense the structure of the sentence, the spelling, and so on and so forth. So you don't lose track. Your mind doesn't start running. So you have to read backwards. Okay, so that's the idea. If I'm doing Haggah, I'm not doing reading. You know, I mean, there's some people very machmer on Kriyat Shema. You know, so they're going to say. They're going to say each word 15 times with different taba'ot. I'm sure you've had that. You've heard that, right? Shema, 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 Shema. That goes on for 5 minutes. Then you get on to the Yisrael. Now, clearly, that's not reading. Right? So the question, if you hold a Rashi's chat, before you never get to Kriyat Shema like that. Because for all intents and purposes, you're just saying a bunch of words that have no connection one with the other. Where's the sentence? So if that's the pshat, then it's a very, very good, the Gemara means precisely what it says. Not like Tosfos says, you're not changing anything, but you're not reading anything either. Tana Rabbanan. Kriyat Shema Kichtava Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, look, it's written, though you have to read it the way it's written in the Torah. It's written in the Torah, B'lashon HaKodesh, and that's the way it has to be pronounced. B'chachamim Omrim, B'chol Hashon. You can read Kriyat Shema in any language at all. It's not the particular way it's written in the Torah that defines my time at the Rebbe. Says Rebbe, look, the Pasuk says, B'feirush, V'hayu HaDivarim Ha'ela. V'hayu means, we know whenever it says the word V'hayu, it always means behavayatanyu. It's a word that defines the existence of a thing. This is how it is, as you would say in English. That's how it is. Okay, so behavayu means that's how it is. If it's written in Hebrew, then that's how it is. Rabbanan, maita amayu. They said, what do you mean? Why does it say Shema? What do you think it says Shema for? Shema means listen. Listen means whatever language you speak. Listen. So if it's saying Shema, it's telling you, say it in the language that you can listen to. So b'chol hashon shatar shomea, any language that you understand. Hey, that's a good point. You know, the Rebbe nami achtiv Shema. No, Shema according to Rebbe means listen literally. In other words, let your ears hear what you're saying, and don't say it in a whisper, in an undertone, where you can't actually hear it. So hashma lo znecha ma shata motzi mipicha. What you're saying needs to be said aloud so that you can hear yourself speaking. Oh, so then how does the Rabbanan explain that? The Rabbanan say it's not true. Sarvil kamandi yama lo yishbil ozno yatsa. The more reasonable drasha of Shema is not that you need physical listening, but rather what Shema usually means. That it should be something that you can understand. And I was talking about the language of it, not the volume of it. Well, what about according to the Rabbanan? How do they deal with the word vahayu? Doesn't vahayu mean this is the way it is? Yes, it does indeed. But ahumi boilu shelo yikra lamafreya. This is the way it is, not in terms of what language it is, but that you don't read b'sharecha beitecha mizuzot. Well, that's a nice way. I mean, it means basically b'sharecha beitecha mizuzot. There you go. The only problem is that it's backwards. So you cannot read Kriyat Shema backwards. Could you read the Parshiyot backwards? Out of order. From the Mishnah, it's clear that you can. Because otherwise, why are we asking? If the Din of Vahayu means only in this order, then what's the Mishnah asking? Why do we make it in this order? Why do we make it in this order? Because it says Vahayu. Quitting Vahayu is not a reference to Bena Parashot, it's a reference to the words themselves within the Parashah. V'Rebbe, Shalei Yikrala Mafrei Aminolei, how does Rebbe know not to read backwards? Nafkelei Midivorim HaDivorim. It says, it could have said Vahayu Divorim Eila. Instead it says HaDivorim Eila. Rabbonan Divorim HaDivorim Lo Darshi. They don't hold that that's a separate drasha. Now, is this implied in L'meimer the Sofer Rebbe to Kol HaTorah Kula V'Chol Lashon Nimra? According to Rebbe, since we need a special limud over here, that Kriyat Shema has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, apparently he holds that the rest of the Torah could be said in any language. And what does that mean, could be said in any language? So Rashi says could be said in any language means, I don't know, whenever you're reading it? This is what's that supposed to mean, whenever you're reading it? I mean, what, Kriyas HaTorah? I mean, that was a takona of Ezra. So you're going to tell me now, Ezra's takona, what did it mean before Ezra came along? Like, what was the hayu? Therefore, says Rashi, it means those chiyuvim that are midiraisa, like Parsha Zohar, or Vidui Maestras, or Kitavo, where you're bringing Bikurim. All those things would normally have said that they could be said b'chol hashon. Comes along now the Torah to say, but not Kriyat Shema. That's why it has to say v'hayu, because otherwise, if all of the Torah was given dafka lashon hakodesh to be read, why do I need a special pasuk to tell me by Kriyat Shema v'hayu? Tartus points out, however, that in terms of what the Torah is, the Torah was given in all of the languages that we learn out from. That's the idea of Be'er Hetev, of Moshe Rabbeinu, or the Medrash that says, called Dibur v'Dibur Shiyatsa Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Mitpatzel, Kevin Mitpatzel Tzela, Yefotzel Tzela, was Mitpatzel Teshivim L'Shanot. We're not talking about the way in which the Torah was communicated. We're talking about the Chiyuv of Kriya. So let's say that inside again. Now, Lemer Kasava Rebbe, the Kol HaTorah Kol HaBechol HaShon Nemra. Apparently, Rebbe holds that the rest of the Torah, initially, if it wouldn't have had Vayu, is meant to be read in any language, because Yisak, the Kol HaShon HaKadosh Nemra, Vayu, the Kadav HaRachmano Lama. If it was meant to be read in any language, what's the point of saying over here specifically, Vayu, meaning that this is a unique case? What do you mean, says Rebbe? I'll tell you why it says Vayu, because you got these Rabbanan who get everybody confused, and they claim it says Shema, and that Shema means it should be said, it should be Shema. So they say, well, maybe this case is a unique case because it's telling you you can read it in any language you understand. So I need to make sure that that's not the meaning of Shema. The meaning of Shema is what I say. Shema means La'ashmi'a lo'znecha. Okay, let's take the inverse. According to the Rabbanan, it's apparent that Kol HaTorah Kol HaBalashon HaKodesh Demra, and the din of Shema is a unique halacha in Kriyat Shema, because Yisak HaKadayta B'chol HaShon Nemra. If the entire Torah was meant to be read in any language, then why would the Torah have to tell me that Shema is readable in any language? Why wouldn't it be readable in any language? Oh, says the Rabbanan, that's because of Rebbe. The Torah didn't want people making the kind of mistakes Rebbe makes, to think that Vahayu means Dafka in this language, and not, as we say, it shouldn't be read backwards. So it's Bishurim Dichti Vahayu. I have to say Shema. The two drashot of Rebbe and the Rabbanan are there as a dancing pair. Here, there's a very interesting dialectic between these two Rishonos. And neither would have said his pshat without the example of the other one, the existence of the other one. This is the way that we're coming out here. Tana Rabbanan. Vahayu means Shelo Yikra L'Mafreya. Hadivarim al levavecha. Now, al levavecha implies awareness of what you're saying, right? It has to be on your heart, not just on your lips. That was the simple meaning of al levavecha. It's how much has to be on your heart. Because if we say literally that al levavecha is a definition of the chiyuv of Kriyat Shema, it means that over here you're not yotzei Kriyat Shema unless you were actually paying attention to what you were saying and understood. Now, this is not to be confused with the level of kavanah, meaning of kavanah of the mitzvot. So it's not kavanah for mitzvah. It's not kavanah for kriya. It's understanding the kriya. Imki. So the question is, anyways, why didn't we use this as the imki ving lebo yetzah before? How come we didn't think of that? Especially if it says beferish in the Torah that you have to be mechaven to the words that you're reading. This is not an interesting question. A fascinating question. So we have three dinim of Kavanah. Kavanah le-mitzvah, perhaps yes, perhaps not, a makhluk samurai. Kavanah le-kriya, either la-fukin mitasek, or specifically in terms of kriya. Kavanah in terms of understanding the meaning of what you're reading, which is a different issue, and that's al levavecha. You're supposed to be paying attention to what it is that you're reading. I'm leaving you with a question to think about. How do we know that that isn't what was meant with imkivei libo? Why does the Gemara simply answer the question directly? Imkivei libo yatsa. But if you're reading without kavanah, you wouldn't be yotze. You'll tell me what you think tomorrow? But tell me what you think now if you have the answer.
Okay. This question about bracha na'akev, isn't that for the whole, if you take a lulav and shake it, are you also, why are they making?
No, because Birkot Kriyat Shema seems to be relating to Kriyat Shema in terms of its content. It's not Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Al Mitzvat Kriyat Shema. It's not a Birkat HaMitzvot in the simple sense. That's clear because we say it even outside of the Kriyat Shema itself. So it's not part of the Brachot Ma'akvot on other things. It's part of the Takonet, how we're Chazal Koveya, the Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Correct? We've seen many, many differences of the Brachot until now. Now, how much has to be Alav Avecha? That's the question. This is very Nogei Ala Alach. I mean, most people read Kriyat Shema and forget what they're talking about, which is what happens with most of the tefillah, unfortunately. So your lips are moving automatically. But what are you saying? So at which point you wake up, at which point you have to go back and do it over again. That's the Shaila. What do you say? How about if you got to say Baruch Shem, you forgot Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed? You Yotze? What do you think? Can you bring a Raya from our Siddha? It doesn't say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto in the Torah, does it? And it says, Yimayak in Kivainli Bo Yatza? How could you be Yotze? You skipped the words Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed, which we insert. It's not there. So apparently you don't have to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed. What do you think?
Depends on what you're trying to do, no?
I'm trying to confuse you. So did I succeed?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Once he switched to the mode of being the kind of mitzvah, he would have had to say it.
Would he? He would have. That doesn't say that. It says Imki Veli Bo. It doesn't say if he switched. I'm not talking about up front. He's talking about ex post facto. Fine. So says the Gemara, Al Levavecha means until here, and not any more than this, because it says Vayu Hadivorim Ha'ele Al Levavecha. These words, which I hereby address to you, should be Al Levavecha. The rest of it doesn't have to be Al Levavecha. So it says Rebbe Eliezer. I'm on the Rebbe Akiva. I understand. It says, that doesn't it say, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom, which I am currently commanding you, not which I just finished, which I am about to say is included in that. So, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom, Al Levavecha, which proves that Mikana Talomet Shekola Parasha Kulat Shekha Kavana, definitely, this first parasha up to Vahayim Shamoa certainly would require kavana. Why does it say Ha'ela? Says Tosis Ha'ela would mean and not the second parasha Vahayim Shamoa. So it was all of these words, meaning the entire parasha of Shema until the end, and then Vahayim Shamoa Tishmu. That does not require kavana. Tosis Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rabba Barachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Akiva. That the first parasha requires kavana. Ika de matnila ha. Others say this psak of Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan was actually said on something similar, but not on Rabbi Akiva's maimer, but rather on the following brayta. The Tanya, hakorei et shma tzarich shiyachaven et libo. Rav Acha mishum Rabbi Yehuda omer kivan shekiven libo beperek rishon shuv eino tzarich. You don't have to be machaven once you finish the first parasha. And according to the Tanakhama, apparently you have to be machaven lipcha b'chol parashot. And on this version, Amar Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'rabacha shomar mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Is there a difference between rabacha shomar mishum Rabbi Yehuda kiven shechiven libo b'perek rishon shuvei lo tzarich? And Rabbi Akiva, who said, Mikana talamet shekola parasha kula tzricha kavana? Or is it just a question of whether he was referring to Rabbi Akiva or referring to Rabbi Yehuda? Well, I don't know. Maybe Eino Tzarich. Well, what's the din of Bidiavad or Lechatchila here? No, the whole parasha.
It says, like,
that place
that
you
were saying.
Asher Anochi Mitzavecha, what I am currently commanding you.
And before that.
You know, for sure. In other words, these things, what defines these things? Each element in the Torah is defined graphically by a space before and a space after. So these things refer to these current things. It's not only what I'm about to say. Well, we'll get to our halakha, but I'm asking you, what do you think? Is it the same thing or not? How about lechatchila? Is there a chiyuv to be mechaven in the second parasha? It's just that if you weren't, b'di'avad, you don't have to go back and say it. What's the language that's used over here by the second pshat in Rav Acha, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Shuv eino tzarich, you don't have to. There's not even a lechatchila to be mechaveh. It's not simply a question not a chiyuv of going back. Perhaps that's not necessarily true according to Rabbi Akiva. Maybe there would be an issue of kavanah. Let's keep that in mind as we go through.
But
He's definitely arguing on this Tanakama, who says all of it needs kavana because he's saying ha'ela is only this parsha.
Yeah,
right?
But not up to Alav Avecha.
But the shaila is, what about more? What do you mean not up to Alav Avecha?
The argument was between the
Eliezer. Whether only up to Alav Avecha, not
only up to Alav Avecha.
That he doesn't hold it for. Tanya Idach. The hayu means shalayikalama freya. Alav Avecha means Rabbi Zutra Omer Atkan mitzvat kavana, mikan veirach mitzvat kriya. Now at this point we thought that means that the first part of Kriyat Shema is said in your thoughts, and the second part of Kriyat Shema is said by your mouth. Shikimar is going to ask on. Rabbi Yoshe Omer Atkan mitzvat kriya, mikan veirach mitzvat kavana, that the first part should be read and the second part should be thought. Wait a second over here. So remember, this doesn't make any sense in the psuki. Maishna mikan ve'elach mitzvat kriya. Why are you saying that from this point forwards, you have a mitzvat kriya? This is what the Rib Zutra said, right? I mean, obviously because you understand that it says in the pasuk in Vayayim Shamoa, so it says averly matem otam et b'nechem lidaber bam, right? So that means you said, Mikan Veil, meaning the second parasha, should be read. Well, listen, in the first parasha it also says that. Hachinami hachtib v'dibartam bam. Doesn't it say that? Vishinam tam levanecha v'dibartam bam. So v'dibartam bam means you have to say it. You claim you only have to think it. Why is that? No, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying completely. Hachikama. Adkan mitzvat kavana, meaning it's a given that you have to say it. That's not the question. Adkan mitzvat kavana, up to this point, you have to not only say it, but you have to be mechavein for what you're saying. Kavana ukriya, mikan ve'elach, you have to read it, meaning only reading it, and kavana is not a problem at this point. So the second parasha is kriya below kavana. Okay, let's examine that side of things. So now, maishat kan mitzvat kavana ukriya. I mean, I assume that the nature of kavanah is taught us from the word alav avecha, right? I mean, because that's what alav avecha means. Should be something that you put on your heart, meaning you set your heart upon, you take it to heart, as we would say in English. So in other words, you know what you're saying. So if the Torah puts alav avecha together with the bartabam, I understand I need dibur and kavanah. Yeah, but the problem is it says exactly the same thing in Vahayim Shamoa. It says, Al Levavachem Ledaberbam. So why doesn't it mean exactly the same thing in Vahayim Shamoa? Keep it on your heart. Says the Gemara, it does mean keep it on your heart. But what on your heart? Your tefillin. It's not talking about Kriyat Shema over there. It's in the context of Le'ot Ayadecha, the Totafot Berinecha. Fine. Where are Yadecha? That's Keneged Alav Abchem. El Mibar Lelikar B'Yitzchak. The Amar V'Samtem Et Varai Ela. Alav Abchem means Shetzricha Shetei Sima Keneged Alev. Do you know where to put your tefillin on your arm? It says Yadecha. Where on your arm? On the part of your arm that is facing your heart. Which is where we get the idea of the placement of the tefillin shel yad on the muscle of your upper arm. Because that way, if you would bring your arm across your chest, your tefillin would be at your heart level. So it should be mechuvan a little bit towards your body. Sorry?
What is a left-handed person?
We're not talking about left or right here. The heart is basically in the middle of your chest as far as we're concerned, which is where it is. Okay, later on we'll talk about the placement of tefillin. So therefore you're 100% right, except that the word here in context is not referring to placing conceptually words upon your heart, it's placing physically the words upon your heart by putting these parashot of Shema v'Hayayim Shamoa up against your heart. Omama, Rabbi Yoshe Omer Atkan Mitzvat Kriya. How about the second man, Yomer? How about Rabbi Yoshe? He says Atkan Mitzvat Kriya. Mikan ve'elach mitzvat kavana. Why do you only need to have kavana in the second parasha? I mean, I assume it's because mikan ve'elach mitzvat kavana because it says alav avchem. Right, but doesn't it say Alev Avecha in the first parasha? Says Rabbi Yoshani, you don't understand me either. What I'm saying is, Ad kan mitzvat kriya v'kavana, mikan ve'elech kavana v'lo kriya. What I'm telling you is that v'ayayim shamoa, you only need to think. You don't need to read. Why is that? Ma'ishra ad kan mitzvat kriya v'kavana. I guess because it's Alev Avecha v'dibarta bam. It says the same thing in the second part. It says, L'daber bam. Hatanani aktiv alev avchem l'daber bam. Yeah, but that l'daber bam is in the context of the limantem. It's talking about divrei Torah. Not talking about the reading of Kriyat Shvana. Here is the ultimate confusion. Because all along we've been saying Kriyat Shema and divrei Torah seem to be fundamentally interrelated. So it's lohivshit kilu korei batorah, haya korei batorah. And now the shadow, and what do the words mean? Are they referring to Torah Alevavchem? Or are they referring to Kriyat Shema, the Vidibarta? So, when I tell you the Chiev, how much do you need to be Melamed et Bnechem? Read it through once? No. It means Agmiru Banaichu Torah ki hechad ligrasufahu. It has to be taught by you to the extent that they can actually repeat all of the Divrei Torah. So, in other words, the Chiyuv is that they need to know Kol HaTorah Kula. And that we wouldn't have known if it wouldn't have said L'daber Bam. Tana Rabbanan, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Ad Kan Tzricha Kavanat Alev Divrei Rabbi Meir. New Shita. Comes along, we've had three Shitot so far, correct? We have the Shita of the Tanakama, of the Braita that was brought, which is that both parashot require Kavana. We have the Shita that we brought of Alev Avecha, that was Dafka until those words, that was the first two lines, need to have Kavana. And here, as Tosis points out, Adkan Mitzvat Kavana on Amud Alev, he says, because those first two psukim, Shnei psukim Elu, Midabrim B'Yichud Hashem, Be avatov yiratov. So that's, those are the three essential mitzvahs. To know that God is one, the chiyav of avas Hashem, the chiyav of yirat Hashem, it's understandable that those being mitzvot that are conceptual and speak to your heart need to be things that you're understanding. But the rest of it, I mean, those are words. They're not changes, internal changes that mandate awareness. And that's why that Mandi Omar holds, that's all you need, is two psukim. The whole parasha. Two parashot. Comes on Rabbi Meir, says, no, the first pasuk. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, no more than that. Ad kan tzricha kavanat halev, div Rabbi Meir. It's mashma in the Mishnah Berurah that he holds that this is a svara b'alma. That by definition, the word echad doesn't mean anything without kavanah. If you are now setting out to be miyachid, shem Hashem, the word Hashem echad doesn't say anything to you. All it means is one. What does one have to do with them? Well, one has nothing to do with monotheism, except according to those idiots who think that the Egyptians were the first monotheists because they only worshipped the sun. You know, so we have one God, monotheism. So that person never read Kriyat Shema. Hashem Echad is one God. You know, at this tape recorder. That's it. You know. I mean, obviously the concept of Echad is not here one, but rather the existential one. That requires Kavanah, otherwise the word doesn't make sense. So this says is Rabbi Meir's sheet, the fourth sheet. Amar Rav Halachah Rabbi Meir. Tanya Sumchus Omer. Kol ha-ma'arich be'echad ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnotav. Whoever says the word echad and is ma'arich on it so that he's able to concentrate on fully accommodating the concept of achdut Hashem will have a long life for his long word. Omer v'achvar Yaakov, that's only on the dalet. Because what's the point of being ma'arich before you've said the word? So you can't be ma'arich. You're going to be ma'arich on the chet. What does that mean? Are you laughing? Ha ha ha. What do you think chet for? So it has to be on the Dalit. Om Rav Ashi, but you have to be careful not to ignore the chet in order to get the Dalit and to have it as a chatav. Shol joyach tov b'chet, because it doesn't mean anything. That's like people always say, Baruch Atah Adonai. There's no Adon there. You notice that? A lot of people, when they daven, they have a Shriak Tzibur who says Adonai. There's no such thing as Adonai. I mean, unless you have problems with your tonsils, but generally speaking, you know, Adonai, as long as you go to Shem Hashem. So here too, there's a cholam there. The cholam, generally people drop the cholam, so they're chotef. So here too, if you would be chotef the cha, so it doesn't mean anything. Rabbi Avak Yosef Kamele Rabbi Barava, and Rabbi Barava was spending a little bit too long on actually, it was probably Rabbi Yirmiyah, it was Yosef Kamei. It was taking a little bit too long for his Shema. I'm right. Given dam lechite lamal matal arba ruchot ha-shamayim tulo tzrich. And how long are you going to be married for? You want a really long life. You know, these people that they give you a 5-minute echad. And it's efficient. The essence of here is to be able to be mechavein in your poor little temporal and spatial constrained brain to think of the fact that Achdus includes all extensions. So Lamala, Lamata, Olarba, Rukhata, Shamayim, that's sufficient, as long as there's no other sense of something out there beyond the pure existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, the big problem over here is that for those of us who have forgotten how to pronounce the Dalid, it is impossible to be Marach on a Dalid. Because a Dalid is a full stop letter, the way it's currently pronounced in Israel, or the way it's been pronounced by Ashkenazim for years, right? How do you, what are you going to do? Or how do you particularly get a Dalit? I mean, to keep on humming after the Dalit, like some people do. You know, Echad. Nice for Mad Magazine, but it's not a Dalit. This is one of the big riots that the Taimanim bring, that their pronunciation of the Dalit, that's mavdil between the Dalit that's Degusha and the Dalit that's non-Degusha, is absolutely correct. So if you pronounce Dalit as dzz, then you keep going dzz, and that's fine. So it's a little bit, we have to train ourselves to pronounce things properly, perhaps. Omrav Nasan bar Marukva Omrav Yehuda. The words al levavecha, that's what it seems to be saying, be'amida. And by the way, be'amida doesn't mean standing, you know, in other words, against Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai. It has nothing to do with the issue before. Ba'amida means still. As we say in English, standing still. Stand still. Stand still doesn't mean that the guy who's lying down in bed has to jump up at attention. It means don't move. Right? Here too, Ba'amida, in the sense of don't move. Why? Because you need to concentrate. Well, you need to concentrate on the words Alevavecha, Salkadaitach. That's a self-referential concentration. Concentrate about concentrating. Boy, that never really works. Ela'ima ad alevavecha ba'amida. Until you get to those words, you should stand still and not just be walking or doing something else while you're saying Shema. Mikan ve'lechlo, from that point on, you should have left chavaderech. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, kol ha'parasha kula ba'amida. You have to stand still for the whole first parasha. This is Rabbi Yochanan Shitase, as we saw before. Because remember that Rabbi Yochanan was quoted by Rabbi Bar Bachan on Rabbi Yochanan, Halachu Rabbi Akash, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, that the whole first parasha requires Kavanah. And since standing still is to facilitate Kavanah, you'd have to stand still for the whole first parasha. Tanan Rabbanan Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, just like Rabbi Meir said, only the first pasuk, the Kavanah is Ma'akev, believe it or not, it's the only thing that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said of Kriyat Shema. Because he was busy teaching Torah, and by the time he finished the shir, the Zman Kriyat Shema was over, and therefore, that's all he had time for. Amalei Rav Lurkhiya, once Rav asked Lurkhiya, you know, I never saw Rebbe say Kriyat Shema in his life. I mean, what, does he like to skip it or what? I mean, Lo Chazinu Le Rebbe De Mekabel Lo Malchut Shamayim. Amalei Barpachti, Mishashim Avir Yadav Alpan. I never see him wipe his face with his hands, you know. Like he's taking a rest for a moment, in the middle of Shir. That's what he's doing. He's saying Shema. And that's when he's Mekabel Avol Malchut Shamayim. So how about after Shir? Chozer v'gomra, or Eino Chozer v'gomra? Would he now, after everybody leaves, would he now say the entire Shema over again? Even though it's no longer at the Bechatchila Zman. Bar Kapara says no. Eino Chozer v'gomra. Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe said, yes, he was Chozer V'Gomra. Said Bar Kapor to Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, look, if I'm right, I'm going to prove to you that he does not go back into his room and say it, because did you ever notice that every single time Rebbe is giving a shir, he always manages to fit something in about Yetziat Mitzrayim just at the moment that the clock rings Kriyat Shema? Now, what do you think he does that for? I'll tell you why he does it. Because he wants to be Yotzei the din of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim, which we were Kovei in Kriyat Shema. Now, if he was going to be saying over all of Kriyat Shema afterwards, why does he have to do that? He can rely on the fact that he's going to be saying Vayomer later. When he gets back into his office, it'll be reviewing the Shema, the whole Shema. So clearly, I'm right, because L'didach, Tamet Chozer V'Gomra, according to you, who claimed that your father would always say it over again, so then, Loma Le'Ladore, why would he have to always figure out some way to sneak in a mention of Yitziat Mitzrayim? And Reb Shimon answered him, K'dei L'Hazkir Yitziat Mitzrayim Bizmana. Obviously, he held that the Takona of the three parashot is at the time of reading the Shema. So he said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu Hashem Echad. He wanted to also include something about Zechirat Mitzrayim. He's a busy man, a busy man. He's being Isaac in being Miyasek the Torah for Klal Yisrael. What's your problem? That's like the old raya that Avram Avinu must have walked out with a yarmulke, because it says Vayashkim Avram Babaker. Okay, but we'll talk about this in our halacha review on Friday. What elements does a person who's being Isaac b'mitzvah do, legabe tila bizmana and tviyashma bizmana, and so on. Om Rebbe lo bereid the Reb Shmuel bar Marta b'shmei d'ram. Omar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'ne'enas b'sheina yatsa. If you said over the first pasuk and then fell back asleep again, you would be yotzei your chiyuv. In fact, you know, it says Kriyat Shema. Does it say anything about Daf Yom? Omer le Reb Nachman l'daro avde. In fact, Reb Nachman gave standing orders to Daro, his famous servant. Dipsuka kama tsaren. Look, if you got to get me up, keep pushing when it comes to that first pasuk. Tve lo tsaren. Stop driving me crazy if I keep falling asleep after that. Just leave me alone. Amar le Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef pray to Rabba. Avu cheche havi ovid. How did your father Rabba do? Amar le dipsuka kama ovid kama tsaren. Nafshe, you would put out whatever effort was required to get through the first pasuk. More than that, he didn't. Omri Yosef, Prakdan lo yikra kriyat shema. Someone who's lying directly on his back should not read kriyat shema. This is Rashi's pshat. Remember, we had this earlier, and we discussed this in the first parak. So you shouldn't read kriyat shema. According to Rashi, the problem of, but we'll see in a moment. Mikra hu delo likri. Mashma says the Gemara that our only problem is in reading kriyat shema per se. But Migna Shapardam, you mean there's no problem of sleeping on your back? Didn't Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi lie at the Mandagani Aparkin? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to curse out people that would sleep on their back. So if you're according to Rashi, the problem is that maybe he'll have an erection in his sleep, and other people will notice and will be sort of ignited to him. But if we learn that Aparkin, according to others, means on the stomach, then there are other issues that are involved. And meanwhile, we're saying the only question is Kriyat Shema per se. Answers the Gemara, Amri Migne ki matzli shapardami. If a person is leaning over on his side, then for sleeping purposes, that would be okay. Mikra, afagav de matzli nami yasa. For Mikra, the problem is that we're talking about the kavod of the reading. Because after all, you're being makabel o malchus shamayim. Yeah, Makabalo Malchus Ramayim, you know, in your jacuzzi, leaning back, taking it easy, and oh, by the way, Shema Yisrael, Asher Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Give me another bit of that beer, will you, please? So that the whole gaiva of the situation is just impossible to tolerate. So over there, we don't even, leaning over is insufficient. We expect you to sit up like a mensch and show that you're Makabalo Malchus Ramayim. But to go to sleep, the question, if it's a question of Gnai, then there's not a problem. Others learn that it's not a question of Gnai, it's a question of actually stimulating yourself. Your arm. Like Tosfos learns, you will generally sleep with your arms crossed over you. So, I mean, if it's crossed over your genitals, then it turns out to be self-stimulating. Or your begotim, whatever chashashas we have, we want to avoid, but not, well, what do we care with how you look? Mashengen over here, we do care. Ask the Gemara, what about according to Rabbi Yochanan? What about Rabbi Yochanan?
But Shammai lie down when he lifts Yishma.
You mean lie down? It has to mean like flat on your back? No, we're talking about over here lying on your back or lying on your side. I mean, it's enough if a person gets up like this, according to Shammai, no? Or even sitting down? Yeah, that's Shechina. Anything that's not Amida is already, even Smicha is not considered to be Amida. So what about Rabbi Yochanan, who bent over on his side and was Matzli? Rabbi Yochanan is different. Rabbi Yochanan was so enormously fat that for him to bend over on his side and to say Kriyat Shema is an indication already of his being Mechabed the proceedings over here. I mean, we understand that for him to actually sit up is a real major effort. For a normal person, if he's matzli, he's just relaxing. Okay, then we'll discuss the next part of the Mishnah tomorrow.